You know, Marty, I don't know what some of these notes are, some of our good singers, Kay, Keith, Winston, all Connie, all these hit, but that was a way up there note, wasn't it?
Well, that may be off the keyboard.
Is that off the keyboard? Okay. It's great. Great. Thank you, Kay, and thank all of you who lead us in worship. It's just a blessing. God bless you. Joshua chapter 1 in your Old Testament, Joshua chapter 1, and we'll just start back at verse 1 today, just reading context to scripture today. I'll tell you something I was thinking about when I was thinking about my new sweat rag here that I'm so proud of. I went to this lady's house one time to make a visit, and she had something hanging on the wall that was rather interesting. She had something framed on the wall. I couldn't really make out what it was. It just kind of looked like a napkin with some scribbling on it. And I thought, man, why did, I mean, the frame was probably worth a whole bunch. And I thought, that's just some kind of napkin with some scribbling on it. And I said, and I just couldn't help it, you know. Eventually, I'm going to have to say, in the nicest way I know how, what in the world is that? But I said, hey, let me ask you about your frame. And she said, yeah, she said, that is my baby. That is something I'm so proud of. That is special. If I leave this house, I'm not leaving this house without that. And I'm thinking, it looks like a napkin in the phone. But I didn't tell her that. I said, oh, it's nice. I said, well, you know, if you don't mind, kind of what makes it so special, you know, and she said, that napkin has the sweat of Wayne Newton on it. She had been to see Wayne Newton in some show somewhere, and he had wiped the sweat off his head on a rag, handed it to her, signed his name to it, and she framed it and put it on the wall. So after church today, I thought we'd offer to the highest bidder to help our student ministry. It ain't going to happen as a key. That might may pay $100 to take it home with me one day. Oh, Lord, I just couldn't help but think about that. I thought, this lady, I mean, she showed everybody came in her house her Wayne Newton sweat rag. So you can purchase my rag today, put it on your wall, and everybody comes in is going to say, what is that? Oh, if I'm not leaving this house without it, that's got my pastor's sweat on it. Hey, if you found your place physically able, stand with me in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. Oh, man, good to have fun today. Amen. Amen. Here's what the Bible says. Let's back up, catch verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And here's where we're going to pick up today. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea toward the going down the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people and you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Pray with me. Father, we pray you add your blessing to the reading of your word today. We pray that you be glorified through the faithful proclamation of the gospel. May we honor you. May I preach as a dying man to dying men and women today. May the Son of God always be glorified is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm preaching today on the subject of the appointment of God's admiral. Now, an admiral is a very important person in the Navy, isn't he, Jim? Jim's out here at the Welcome Center. He's taking notes. Yeah, Jim was in the Navy. He'll tell you an admiral is very important. He is the highest rank, the commander-in-chief of his fleet. He can be charged with the responsibility of commanding any number of ships. Some, like rear admirals, are like 50 ships or less, but the admiral, he can command any number of ships in the U.S. fleet, which includes 186 ships and 1,300 aircraft. Now, that's a lot of responsibility, but with that responsibility, much training, sacrifice, and commitment to the cause is required for a person to rise to the rank of U.S. Navy Admiral. They are promoted and they are appointed based on their past performances and their willingness to sacrifice for the safety of their sailors and for the fulfillment and completion of the mission. Now, Joshua was about to be appointed an admiral. He was going to be appointed as admiral of the Israelites as they marched toward Canaan. There were only about 2.5 to 3 million of them, not a very big crowd. But he faced the greatest challenges as the weight of responsibility crashed in upon him. I'm certain he had a lot of questions. I know all of us have differing levels of responsibility in this world, and sometimes the weight of that responsibility, whether some view it as small or large, can be overwhelming. And sometimes the same questions flood our hearts and minds. We ask, how can we handle this type of responsibility? We ask, like Joshua probably did, what if the children of Israel did not accept him as leader? What if they rebel? What if they revolt? What if they don't accept me? What if they say they were just loyal to Moses and they're not loyal to God? Then he probably had that biggest question, what if I fail? Nobody likes to fail. Joshua didn't want to fail, but I'm sure it was in his mind. And then he probably asked, what if they rebelled in such a way that everything stops right here and the promise of God is not fulfilled? Well, those are some questions that are important. They're some of the same questions I struggle with from time to time. I ask God, how can I handle the responsibility? Church, I want you to know the reason I believe God's led us to the book of Joshua at this point in time in our journey is we're at the precipice of having to make some really tough decisions down the road that are good decisions. They are godly decisions. They are growth decisions, but they are decisions that will stretch us all to the point we just don't know if we can go that far. It's too far on the limb. It's so far on the limb that we might fall off and all this kind of stuff. But I want you to know that God's word teaches us some important truths from today's text that I believe will encourage us in our journey as we look to what God is going to do with us in the future, because I believe with all of my heart that God wants to raise up churches just like Heflin Baptist Church all across this nation and all across this world who are willing to just take the word of God and say, let God be true and every man a liar, and just believe that God's word is true and that God's purpose is complete, and that he will raise up churches just like us to touch the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we need some encouragement in our journey, as I believe Joshua did. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm fixing to dive in headlong. I'm going to talk as fast as I can. My heart's full, and you listen aggressively. There's going to be a lot of good stuff, I hope, on the screen that will help you, because I believe that some of the things we will learn from Joshua will pave the way for where God leads us in our future with him. Notice everything began in this appointment with a tragic death that we talked about some last week. Moses was the leader. He was a respected leader. But the tragic death of a respected leader is always a cause for anxiety, always a cause for uncertainty on the part of the followers. In verse 1, we see that there was an announcement proclaimed. Moses, the leader for 40 years, was dead. There were people very fearful about their future because they had trusted Moses as he led them out of bondage from Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. They were very, very fearful. We've experienced some of that in our country over our history. On April 14, 1865, President Lincoln was assassinated just as he was about to begin his second term at the conclusion of the Civil War. On April the 12th, 1945, President Roosevelt died suddenly at Warm Springs, Georgia, the president who led us out of the Great Depression and through World War II, who was the four-term president, now had passed away. On November 22, 1963, President John F. Kennedy was assassinated at Dealey Square in Dallas, Texas. There was a lot of fear in this country. Even though I wasn't here when it happened, I've talked to many people that have, that were worried if it was an attack from the Russians, if it was an attack from other communist nations, if there was an impending attack coming to our country, and they were starting with our president. There was a lot of uncertainty about what was going on, and fear was on everybody's heart. See, the cause for concern on the part of the children of Israel is very understandable, but I want you to know, just because you're concerned, or even if you're worried, doesn't mean God still doesn't have a plan. There's an announcement proclaimed, but I want you to know a second thing. In verse 2, there was an assistant promoted. Gene Getz said this about that. He said, "The Lord never gives us a task without providing the resources and the help to carry out that responsibility." Y'all believe that? God never gives us a task that He hasn't already prepared for how we're going to take care of completing it. We just have to get on His agenda. Every time I say the word agenda, I think of two people, Tony Evans and Henry Blackaby. Henry Blackaby went home to be with the Lord this week, and I learned from him that spiritual leadership is all about moving people onto God's agenda. Here was Joshua's big challenge. He had to get the people to understand that Moses had died, but God wasn't dead. He had to get the people to understand that because God was alive, He still had a plan and a purpose. He couldn't show them the resources right in front of His hand, but God had it mapped out. See, the number one resource needed in times of crisis is the appointment of an anointed leader. Y'all believe that? Anointed leader who does what? Who gains the respect of those who follow by leading by example. You know why Joshua knew that was important? Because that's what Moses did for him. In the book of Joshua, Moses' name is mentioned 57 times. 57 times Moses is referred to in the book of Joshua, which speaks of the respect that Joshua had for his mentor. Those who have mentored you, those who have encouraged you in your professional field or spiritual life, you will speak of them often because of the handprints of God that they put on your life. See, the children of Israel were all well aware of Joshua's testimony. They knew he was there at the giving of the law. They knew he was there at Rephidim that we talked about last week when he defeated the Amalekites. They knew he was one of the two at Kadesh Barnea who said, "We can go possess this land because God's already given it to us." They knew his testimony. Joshua was God's prepared and appointed leader. He was to continue the work that had begun in Moses. Can I say something to you? There's a New Testament application of that today. God's begun a work in you if you're a child of God. Did you know that? God has begun a work in you that's not anything you did in and of yourself. It's not something you could have done in and of yourself. It's not about your giftedness. It's all about His blessing, grace, and mercy. Amen? Let me tell you something about that work. Sometimes you get to thinking that this work God has started in me, He's wasted His time, Keith. Bobby, sometimes they'll say, "This work God's done in me, God's left me in the middle of the game." Oh, but hear me. If you know the Word of God, you know that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Philippi in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and said this: "You need to be confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." He's a working on you, brother. He's a working on you, sister. He's a working on your family. He's a working on your church. God's a working on your community through you. And He's not going to quit. He's going to keep working on you because that's the kind of God that we serve. Amen? Amen. I believe that today. Well, let's just move on. One thing that the children of Israel had to learn is what we all have to learn. No one is infinite. No one is irreplaceable. Sometimes God removes the props out from under us that we're leaning on in order to compel us to serve Him with humility and the grace that is required to fulfill His purpose. I've heard folks say this. I remember this one old boy I used to work with. We'd be talking about the Bible at lunch. And we'd be talking about, he'd ask different questions, and I'd share what I knew. And if I didn't know, I learned to be honest. I don't know, but I'll find out. But here was his answer every time. "Well, I don't know about that. I'll have to ask my granddaddy. He's the Bible scholar in our family." "Well, I don't know of everything. Granddaddy, granddaddy, granddaddy." And one day I asked him, I said, "When are you going to learn it for yourself? Are y'all with me?" You can't ride granddaddy's relationship with Jesus to glory. If your granddaddy was a godly man and your grandmama was a godly man and your mama and your peepaw and all that kind of stuff was godly people, that's wonderful. I thank God they left you a heritage to follow. But you won't get to glory just because they're going to glory. You won't get to understand the Word of God just because they do. You have to come to know Jesus through the blood of Christ. You have to be forgiven of your own personal sin, and then you have to get a relationship with Him to where you walk intimately and close with Him, to where the Word of God means so much to you. It's not just what it means to granddaddy, but what does the Word of God mean to you? Wow. Something to think about. Well, let's move quickly to the next thing. Not just a tragic death, but notice a tremendous destiny. Joshua's commission, he had three goals. One, lead the people. Two, defeat the enemy. Three, claim the inheritance. Lead the people, defeat the enemy, claim the inheritance. That was the goals he had. Joshua's huge task would involve complete trust in God to provide for every need. He didn't look around and see what he had in his bag that could accomplish. He just looked up to God, knowing God was his only source. Warren Wiersbe said this, God's people live on promises, not explanations. Did y'all ever do the dumb thing of when your daddy told you to do something you didn't want to do? Did you ever ask the dumbest question under heaven that only has one word and three letters and a question mark? Did you ever ask why? See, I grew up in a generation where parents didn't have to give you an explanation. We grew up in the generation of mean neighborhood mamas who would tear your little tail up and send you home, and you'd get another one when you got there. You do that now, you're going to prison, buddy. And our society resembles it. No. Children, many times, you don't have to give them an explanation. You tell them to wash the dishes, and they ask you why, you're not going to be very happy. I never forget the time I did this. Doug and Becky, y'all get Caitlin about this when you see her. One time she got up in her teenage year, and she began to, you know, teenagers get to the point sometimes they just want a little ownership of stuff, you know? You know, just some stuff that they can claim for themselves, you know, in their room. And I always told the girls, it's your room, but it's under my roof. Are y'all all right? And anything in there is wide open to me. And if you got a problem with that, you can get you a job, get your own place, pay your own rent. It'd be awesome, amen? Y'all like, he is harsh. No, I wasn't harsh. I was just honest. And some of y'all do the same thing, but in church y'all go like, I wouldn't say it to my poor baby. They're so precious. But Caitlin one time wanted this. I told him, and I said, Caitlin, I said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I wrote out a little deed. I gave her a deed to the dishwasher. And I said, you are now the proud owner of this little square of our cabinetry and our cabinetry. It's yours. It's all yours. You can claim it. I'll even let you pay the tax on it next year. I said, but this is your place, and you got to keep it up. And you know what? To this day, she hates loading the dishwasher. She'd rather take a stick whooping than load the dishwasher. And I'm like, she ain't never. Look here. Y'all remember how it was with Granny back in the old days? You'd have praised God if you'd had a dishwasher to load. But no, you got to stick your hands down in all the fat back in the lard and the grimy, crunched up cornbread. Amen? Are y'all with me? I said, are you complaining? No. Hear me. God always does that. God's people live on promises, not explanations. You know what? She's never asked me to own anything else since that day. But let me tell you what else Wiersbe said. He said, when you trust God's promises and step out in faith, you can be sure that the Lord will give you the directions you need exactly when you need them. Sometimes you're like, God, I want direction. You're not showing me anything. You're not showing me anything. It could be that it's not time, you're not prepared, and you're not ready for Him to show you. Amen. Wow. Notice with me, if you will, in this destiny, the determined property. You can read about it in verses 3 and 4. He shows them exactly where they're going to be. He said, every place your foot shall tread upon. I've already given it to you. Look here. Wherever you go, it's already yours. East, west, north, and south, you can see. Lebanon to the north, Mediterranean to the west, the desert to the east, Egypt to the south. It was all theirs. And can I tell you, God still means those boundaries in 2024. See, God's promises, I read this to Joshua, are an instance of divine human responsibility. That's a neat word, divine-human responsibility. Here's what that means. We do what we're responsible for doing, and God will do the rest. We do have human responsibility, but there is a divine power within us. Divine power is always available, but it also involves human effort. It always involves effort and obedience to accomplish the fulfillment of God's purpose. They had this property. It was already theirs. Just go take it. Not just determined property. Notice he also promised divine presence. Colonel, this is coming in handy right here, boy. Sometimes in little hankies, I'd wipe them, I'd just get wetter, right? This is all right right here. I like this. Listen, Joshua's given a living illustration right here. Look what God's showing us right here in verse 5. He's giving a living illustration of God's faithfulness to never abandon him. He reminds Joshua of his faithfulness to Moses. You know, he's saying, I've already showed you what I'm going to do. I'm not telling you to believe in something you hadn't already seen witness. What'd he do? Well, God was with Moses when he was a baby in a basket in the Nile River, wasn't he? God was with Moses when he was at the burning bush. God was with Moses when he stood before Pharaoh and said, let my people go, didn't he? God was with Moses at the Red Sea. God was with Moses at Mount Sinai. God was with Moses in the wilderness. God never left Moses, and he makes the same promise to Joshua. Victory would be his, and God's presence would be constant. What does that mean to you and I? If you're a child of God today, you got the same promise. Now, let me say this again. I had a friend send me a website the other day. He was concerned about this church in his neighborhood. He sent me a website, and the church said this. They believe that everybody on earth is God's child. That is false doctrine. That is absolutely wrong. That is not the word of God. You don't become a child of God by being born onto this earth physically. You become a child of God by being born again from above, by repenting of your sins and trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. You don't get to glory simply because you were born into this earth. You don't get to be a child of God unless you submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen? Right. Now hear me. If you've done that, you've got the same promise that Joshua had. How do you know that? Hebrews 13:5 says it is written, which means the New Testament's about to quote the Old Testament. He will never leave us or forsake us. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says this, he who has called you is faithful. Ladies and gentlemen, just as much as God was with Moses, just as much as God was with Noah, just as much as God was with Daniel, just as much as God was with Shamgar, just as much as God was with Benaiah, just as much as God was with David, oh, just as much as God was with Joshua. As a child of the living God today, you have the promise that he will never leave you, forsake you, abandon you whatsoever. You are his, and you are his prized possession, his workmanship, his masterpiece. You are his glorious child, and he is our glorious Savior. Amen. Glory to God. Woo-wee, I told you. I sat up last night thinking, Lord, I got to get this out of me. This is hurting. Oh, but I thank God for his divine presence. I couldn't walk up these steps if it wasn't for Jesus. I couldn't stand here and break open the word of God if it wasn't for Jesus. It's all because of him. Takes me to our final thing today. Notice, if you would, a triumphant declaration. I told y'all I was going to hurry, didn't I? I'm buzzing right along here, right? So, I wish y'all could see what I see sometimes. Some people like, yeah, you buzz along. Others like, oh, God, amen. But in verses 6 through 9, stay with me, listen. The Lord spoke directly to the heart of the matter. As he commissions Joshua to take the mantle of leadership from Moses so that he would lead the people toward Canaan. Notice he talks, first of all, about the people's future. Be strong and of good courage for who? Somebody help me. Be strong and of good courage for who? Did you read it right there in verse 6? This people. You know what he said, Joshua? Sometimes your own personal comfort will have to be compromised and set aside for the benefit of this people. That speaks to my heart today. Oh, as human beings, we're not naturally strong and courageous. He's like, oh, you don't know me. I'm strong, and I hope you are, but I mean, natural as a human being, we're just not naturally strong and courageous. But here's what the Lord gives us. He gives Joshua a reason to be courageous. When he uses the word be before strong, it's not a suggestion. In the original Hebrew language, it is an imperative. It is a command. It is not an option. When he says for this people, he's saying, Joshua, you've got to be an example of a courageous leader. People never rise above the level of courage and faith demonstrated by their leaders. You say, well, I guess that's just you pastors. Oh, wait a minute. Every one of you is a leader somewhere. Do you know what I learned from my good buddy Steve Parr years ago, who taught me in seminary, he's a good buddy. He said, pastors, remember this. People don't always remember your lessons, but they never forget their leaders. Are you with me? If you teach a Sunday school class, I promise you in 30 years from now, a lot of people won't remember what lesson you taught on February 11th, 2024. But I want to tell you this, they won't forget you. If you work in student ministry, they may not always remember what y'all talk about every Wednesday night or whatever. May not ever remember all the themes from your retreats, but I promise you they will not forget you. That's why when a year or so ago now, I stood and spoke at the funeral service for a lady who marked my life with my Sunday school teacher when I was a young boy, Miss Barbara Owen. And I'm telling you, she marked my life then, and she kept marking my life throughout. And every time I think I wanted to quit, look here, boys, y'all look at me. There's going to be times you want to quit, and you want to give up living for Jesus. Am I right? Am I right? Am I right? All you older, all you above 20, am I right? Look here. And you're going to want to quit, you're going to throw in the towel. But you know, there were times I wanted to quit, and I wanted to throw in the towel, but every time I did, you know whose face I saw? Miss Barbara's. And the Lord said, how you going to go tell her you quit? Because she'll whoop you. She was one of those mamas that could whoop us and send us home and get another whooping. Now, she never had to whoop me because I knew she would. Right? But listen, I'd see her face, and I'd see her belief in me, and I'd see her tell me she was proud of me, and I would see her tell me that she loved me, and I couldn't quit. Listen, there are going to come times you won't quit, and I hope that you see the face of your youth leaders. I hope you see the face of people who encouraged you and inspired you. Lord, I hope you see my face. And I hope you say, I can't go tell Brother Brent I quit. No way. I hope why? Not that you'd be scared of me. I don't want anybody to be scared of me. I'm not worth being scared of. And I'm not going to be scared of you. But listen to me. But that you'd say, wait a minute. This person believed in me. They invested in me. I cannot let their investment fall dead. I must go on for Jesus. Amen, church? That's what we got to do. That's what it's got to be like. I like this. I don't know who this person is, but truth is truth wherever it's found. Some person named Carl Wilson Baker said this, courage is fear that said its prayers. My favorite's John Wayne, the great theologian, the Duke. He said, courage is not the absence of fear, but it's being scared to death, saddling up anyhow. Oh. People's future. Notice the second thing. Notice the purpose foretold. The second be strong and very courageous statements in verse 7. It added purpose for Joshua's faithfulness that you may observe to do the law of Moses. He's listen, it's not just for the people, but that you would observe the word of God. Joshua must be an example of faith and courage to the people as one who is completely focused on the will of God. What's the application today? Far too easy to become attracted to the things of this world, isn't it? Because when we get attracted to the things of this world, we get distracted. When we get attracted to things of this world, we get distracted from following God and His Word. There's a major danger in that. Notice the next thing. The prosperity factor. Well, wait a minute, preach. Did you just say prosperity? I didn't think you was one of them prosperity, health and wealth, word of faith, name it, claim it preachers. Well, I'm not. But I want you to know the way those people define prosperity and the way God does is very differently. Very different. God is not telling Joshua to name it and claim it. He's not telling you always going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise and never have any adversity. What he's saying to Joshua is you're supposed to receive the word, but as you receive the word, you are to speak the word. Reminds me of folks who say, I'm just not real open about my religion. Can I remind you, I've said it before, I'll say it again, the reason you're not open about it is because that's exactly what it is, religion. Religion is man's attempt to get to God. But I'll tell you, when you get a relationship with the Son of God and a devotion to the Word of God, you will not only read it, you will say it. Marty, there's a somewhat important game coming on tonight. Well, I never heard of that, preacher. What are you talking about? You know, the Super Bowl. Go 49ers, right? I'm going 49ers because I like Purdy. He's an outspoken Christian. You know what he's not doing? And I'm not against the Chiefs. I mean, I'm not Taylor Swift. I don't even know. He must be a fast running back, I heard. But anyhow, I don't know. But I don't care about all that. Y'all get that in a minute. But listen, I was listening to Brock Purdy the other day. He's unashamedly declaring his faith in Jesus Christ and knew that God's purpose for his life was what he was here to do, regardless of what that was. And I thought, that's it. You know what people do? They talk about what matters to them. Every week I tell y'all something about my grandson, don't I? And you say, well, I'll tell you what. I'll be glad when you stop doing that. Get you some popcorn, baby. I ain't going to stop talking about him now. You know why? Because he matters to me. He's my flesh and my blood. Amen? You know what? You know what Joshua said? Joshua said, you want to walk with God and talk with God, and when you get before the people, you're going to be talking about what matters, and that is the Word of God. And here's what he said. If you'll do it, I'll get you to where you're going. You will have success. Now, culture defines success as he who dies with most toys is the winner. But can I tell you, he who dies with the most toys leaves all his toys. Right? No. But biblically, here's what success is. It's faithfulness to fulfill the will of God and the purpose of God for your life. Not about how much you obtain materially, but what kind of things you do for the glory of God and have a spiritual impact on the world, and you do things that God wants you to do. It's not based on abundance of material possessions. It's important we understand that. Success is to be achieved because individuals seek the Lord earnestly or carefully by His commandments. Let me give you this and I'm done. Notice the promise faithfulness. You got it here. For the third time in this passage, he tells him, be courageous. But this comes with a wonderful promise that the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You know what I always told my children when they were growing up and they got older and got up where they started thinking about taking a husband? So I'm still half mad at both of them about it, but anyhow. I told them this. They got to thinking. And it became evident Caitlin wasn't going to stay in this area because we don't have a lot of aerospace engineering jobs here in Cleveland County. Thought about starting a new firm. I keep her close. But here's what I told my daughter. I said, honey, the safest place on this planet for you is in the center of the will of God. And that may not be the center of my will. It may not be what I want. May not be what I'd druther. But if you're in the center of the will of God, who am I? I never thought I'd spend 18 years in Egypt, but I did. I did. I poured out my soul for the glory of God. I mean, I did. I promise you I did that. I probably didn't make a big difference and didn't make much headway, but I promise you I poured my soul out for the glory of God. 18 years in Pharaoh's land. But hear me. It was still the will of God, and that was the safest place on the planet for him. Now, let me give you this. I got these on the screen, Carrie. I got these from Gene Getz, and this is something you might want to write down, some principles you can live by. They're real short. Put that first one up. We too can trust and must be strong and courageous, whatever our responsibilities or position in life. Wherever you work, sir, you might be an employee of a company, but can I tell you, as a child of God, you are a missionary ambassador of Jesus Christ and the gospel wherever you are. Do you know that? That ought to help you. So maybe you wouldn't act as though you don't belong to Jesus, but that you would act and behave in such a way that would help others see and would give validity to the fact of what you claim to be as a child of God. Amen? That's one. Let me give you a second one. Obedience brings blessing. Do you know what God's going to require of us in these coming months and years? I'm telling you, there's a lot of changes that are going to have to come. And you say, I don't like change. And I don't either. But I change clothes every day. You know why? Because I sweat. And they will stink. Amen? I like to wear some things better than others. Some things fit better. Some things are more comfortable, whatever, thing like that. But you still got to wash things. Still got to clean things. Still got to do. You got to change out. Why? I don't necessarily like it. It's scary. I understand that. But as we continue to grow and touch people with the glory of God, we've got to adapt and change. And that's going to require more space. That's going to require a lot of things. And we've got to be willing to be obedient as God leads us so that he will bless our efforts and we don't do it on our own strength. You say, preacher, have we got the money to do all that? Absolutely not. I don't, but he does. And he uses it through his people. And if his people will be obedient and follow him, he will always provide through his people everything and more to accomplish his will. And then there's a third thing. God will never forsake us. Now, here's where you may be today. You may be here and say, you know what? I'm feeling a little forsaken. I'm not going to tell you your friends won't forsake you. Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes the closer you get to Jesus, sometimes the smaller your circle gets. I don't want to be ugly and I don't want to be unkind. I just want to be honest with you. But everybody that you call friend is not going to applaud you getting closer to Jesus. I remember baptizing a lady one time. And her husband, after the service, I was out on the porch, and her friend, a close friend of hers, was crying so hard. I thought, glory to God, Robin, Dwayne, her friend's under conviction. What about to lead her friend? Her friend's been touched by her baptism. I'm going to lead her friend to Jesus right here. Man, this is going to be awesome. And so the lady called me over to talk with her friend. I said, well, ma'am, can I help you? She says, I'm just sad. And I said, well, sad about what? She said, you just took my friend away from me. It didn't turn out like I was hoping, Bob. I said, well, she said, my friend, because she has become a Christian, she doesn't go out and drink with me anymore. And see, she had to have somebody to label it on, so it was my fault because I'm the one that introduced her to Jesus. I'm the one that took her friend away from her. And I said to her, I said, well, ma'am, I just want you to know what your friend has experienced is not something a preacher or anybody could do for her. I could tell her, don't go out drinking with your friends, and it'd go in one ear and out the other. But when Jesus Christ convicted her of her sins and she repented and trusted him, he changed her from the inside. Jesus Christ has changed what she wants to do. Are y'all with me? And I said, and if you will come to Jesus, he'll do the same for you. And then y'all can be back together again, sipping on some sweet tea down at the Mexican restaurant instead of them mind-altering margaritas. Amen, church? He'll change you. You say, well, I still want to do all that stuff. Well, maybe you hadn't met Jesus yet. Because the Jesus I know, when heaven moves in, hell moves out. He changes that. Changes your want to's, your going to's, your thought to's, your hope to's. He changes everything. But when you give it to him, you can be obedient. You can live courageously. The reason a lot of people live with so much fear is because they're walking in disobedience and they don't find the courage and peace they need from God. You may be there today, but I'm here to tell you there's a man named Jesus who we just sang about, Terry. Terry, I want to tell you why. You sung your heart out on that song. I believe that was, I mean, this ain't about performance, but that was the best that I've seen. Terry sung her heart out. You know, she said the cross. You know who was on the cross? Jesus. He's got the final word. And here's what he wants to say to you. Just like he did in Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all you heavy laden and weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Today he can transform you, change you. And all the stuff you struggle with, you say, I just can't change. No, you can't, but he can. I plead with you to come to Jesus today. Pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for the blessed privilege that we have to be called the sons and daughters of God. Now, Father, somebody in this room today may not know what that's like, may never experience the true joy, peace, and freedom that comes from a relationship with you. Father, I pray at this invitation you'd set somebody free. I pray, God, you would help people just to throw in that towel, quit holding on to something that's holding them back, and step into the freedom that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. I commit this invitation to you. I pray I've done what you put me here to do today. I pray that, like Joshua, I learn to be obedient, even when it costs me. And I pray lives will change. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Stand with me all across the house. If there's any decision you need to make today, I want to encourage you, don't delay. If you think long, you'll think wrong. Just come to Jesus. Marty, lead us when you're ready. Come to Jesus, friend.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
First verse with me. Hey, look here. Let me ask you, tell you what I want to sing this. Because this is a decision you got to make every day. You know, every day when I get up, I make a decision that I'm going to love God, I'm going to love my wife, and I'm going to seek to fulfill my calling every day. Make a decision every day. Miss Angie, I tell her every morning, I love, my love for you is renewed every day, just like the mercies of God. So it's a decision you got to make every day. And as a child of God, you got to make this every day. You say, my eternity is secure. Yes, it is. If you're a child of God, it is. But you got to make a definite decision every day. I will give God glory from my life. Following somebody means you're right up next to them. So sing this first little chorus verse with Marty, and let's sing it like we're going to make that decision every day this week. When you're ready, Marty.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Man, would you thank the Lord for the Word of God today? Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Our ushers are coming. As they're coming, if you have anything to drop in, any prayer requests or anything like that that you have to put in the plate, please use those as well. If you're a guest today, please drop in a connect card so we can have a record of your visit today. It would mean so much to us. And most of all, let's continue to be faithful to what God's given us. Hadn't he been good to us? Boy, God's been good to us. And the best is yet to come. Amen. But much of that depends on us and our faithfulness to him. So let's join our hearts together. Let's ask God's blessings on our giving.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for another safe day to come out to your house, Lord, and worship you, Lord. And just thank you for bringing this message, Lord. And just we can never count how many blessings you give us, Lord. And help us to be courageous and never give up, Lord. And just be with this offering. Lord, let your will be done through it. And Lord, help us through this week to do everything for you, Lord. We love you and praise you in Christ's name.
Thank you so much. Hey, don't forget today as we get ready to dismiss. I know it's a holiday weekend. So I've got some folks I know told me they'd be out traveling. So pray for those that are traveling. Get them back safe and sound. Pray for the week ahead. No school tomorrow, kids. Is that right? No school tomorrow, Shever? No, okay, I got something for you to do, okay? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Wait, no school tomorrow. Bus driver's over here going, yeah! Hey, man, I love it. I love it. Hey, man, everybody says, man, you need to drive a bus. I'd be like, I'm trying to stay out of prison. I mean, really am. Some people, I've got some friends Like Kerry Hyatt tell me they've been, don't mind going back. But I mean, I've never been, and I've watched enough stuff on the A&E. I don't want to go, amen? Don't. So anyhow, no, just cutting up. Tomorrow's going to be a good day for y'all, and I hope it's going to be a great week. Don't forget Wednesday night. Make sure you place Wednesday night. Next week's Youth Day. Encourage everybody to be here for that. It's going to be a great time. But remember as you pray this week, when you live like you die and stuff, remember as you pray, remember, God is taking us farther than we can imagine. God is going to stretch us farther than we think we're able. The most misquoted, misinterpreted verse in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 10:13, where people take it, so God won't put no more on you and you can stand. Where it says, no temptation is taking you, but such as is common to man. That means somebody else has had it, right? But here's what the verse means. It means, yes, you will be tempted above what you can stand, but you will never be tested beyond what God can enable you to do through him and by his grace. So he will stretch us further than we can go on our own. But as he stretches us and we go where he wants us to go, he never leaves us and never forsakes us. Ain't that a good promise? Amen. Always remember, church, that I love you. There ain't nothing you can do about it. Amen. Stand.